Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our review series examines books, movies, music, and other media in the light of God's truth. We pray that it will be eye-opening, instructional, and beneficial for your daily walk with Christ. Welcome back to Burden and Blessing once again. We are going to take a look at another review of a very old book. This is going to take us back into previous generation. We have considered books by this author before along the lines of The Great Divorce and Mere Christianity. We are talking about another book by a famed apologist, C.S. Lewis. And this book is a well-known book as well. It is told that C.S. Lewis, while this book came very easily to him, he struggled to write it and was glad to be done with it because of the nature of it. We're going to be talking about the Screwtape Letters and the reality of the devil and evil spirits. So join me today to go through this book is Pastor Ben Libby. Ben, are you ready to dig into this book?
I am. I think it's a very interesting book. I enjoyed reading it quite a bit. Nathaniel, I guess to kind of just start off, I know you just mentioned here that you did previous podcasts on C.S. Lewis. To me, before I even read this book, all I knew about C.S. Lewis was that's the guy who wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Sure. I didn't really – I mean, I knew he was a very prolific writer. I knew he was an apologist, but I hadn't read any of his Christian writings, I guess. Can you kind of explain his background and, you know, his point of view as it relates to the church?
Sure. And I would just encourage our listeners, if they are at all intrigued by this particular book or the content of it, I would encourage you to go back and listen to the two previous podcasts, the one that we did on Mere Christianity, as well as the one on The Great Divorce, both of those by C.S. Lewis. But he does have an interesting history. He was basically an atheist for the majority of his life and came to Christianity later on. Now, he had been exposed to Christianity in his youth, but really had by and large rejected it. Comes to Christianity and becomes a very outspoken proponent for Christianity and is known still today for many of his great works. A good friend of J.R.R. Tolkien also. In fact, this book is dedicated to Tolkien. A lot of people are going to be familiar with him from The Lord of the Rings and, mm-hmm. and some of those other series. But it was now in his later life, in his elder life, that he really digs into some of these issues. And I'll tell you what, Ben, he has a grasp on the way that the human mind works. And that, I think, is one of the greatest aspects of this book. When he discusses temptation and how the devil works and the flesh works, a lot of this goes even beyond the devil, but more our own sinful flesh that is speaking in this book. I don't think there's anybody that's going to be able to pick this book up and say, I can't relate to this, because those temptations are something that are in front of all of us because we all have that sinful flesh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think the temptation that you know, we're talking about, we'll get into the characters here, I guess, soon, but when you look at it, kind of, we see temptation as one thing and one thing only, but I think there's a lot of different layers to how we are tempted to sin. And, you know, we sin all the time and we have many temptations, and our enemies, they know how to get us. And I think this is a really, just kind of by Lewis pointing it out and pointing out their methods, you can kind of appreciate and understand how the devil works, you know, on a very personal level with us. And I think it can help us Christians be more prepared to face, you know, certain challenges that he might throw at us.
You can't pick up this book without thinking about 1 Peter. The devil is a roaring lion seeking yep. whom mm-hmm. he may devour. I mean, that really comes out in this book very clearly, that is his intent, that is his purpose, that is what he's doing. He is there in order to sink the Christian, in order to do whatever he can to destroy it. One other thought, just talking about C.S. Lewis before we move on to the content of the book. The content, I mean, he wrote this in 1942. So the backdrop for this book, and we're going to see this as you go through the book, is World War II. I mean, that was a huge thing in England. So C.S. Lewis is writing in England. He was part of the Anglican Church. And so you'll see come out of this, in fact, it kind of culminates with the end of World War II, with the main character, the main human character, so to speak, ended up dying in the war. So just so everybody kind of has a little bit of perspective when we're talking about this book, this is not a modern book. This takes us back to World War II, the early 1940s, mid 1940s, and so just so people kind of have a little bit of an idea, there is some older English language in there too, some words that are not used regularly anymore, so you kind of have to be aware of that too as you're reading through the book. But good opportunity to brush up on some of those words that aren't used very often anymore. So set the stage for us, Ben. How does he work through this book? What's the main purpose?
Okay, so kind of like you mentioned there, Nathaniel, there's one central human figure, and we don't know his name. But then working on this guy is his demon that is assigned to him, and that would be a demon by the name of Wormwood, who Screwtape is his quote-unquote uncle, and he always calls him my dear Wormwood. And then there's Uncle Screwtape, who is a senior demon, and he is at the he writes these correspondence to his, you know, nephew, and the whole book is a set of letters basically that's trying to give advice to Wormwood on the best ways to get this certain individual to end up where they're going, to get this guy to hell basically. So the whole book is a series and collection of letters that is saying this is the way that you want to go with this guy, this is the temptations you want to throw at him, these are the people that you want this guy to be in a crowd with, you want his friends to be like this and not to be like this, you want his girlfriend to be like this and not like this. So he's trying to he's giving advice to this lower demon, trying to get this guy to their realm. And I think one of the things that's really jarring is you got to remember this is written from the point of view of a demon. And when I was first reading it, he kept saying, you know, our enemy. And it kind of took me longer than it should have to realize he's talking about God. Every time he'll reference the enemy or, you know, and like use these really derogatory terms for God. And then you kind of put it, you piece it together, and it's kind of interesting. It's really interesting to get into that frame of mind. It's not, you know, particularly enjoyable, like we mentioned, but just really, really interesting to see how the demons, quote unquote, work. This is obviously fiction. We don't know this to be true, but I think just the fact that he's writing about it is really good and thoughtful to look at.
Yeah, that is kind of a struggle as you're reading through this.
Yeah.
It flips everything on its head, doesn't it? You know, because we, as Christians, we look at the enemy being the devil, but it's written from their perspective. So this is an evil spirit. This is a demon who's writing this, these 31 letters. And so you have to go into this book prepared to flip everything that you know on its head. Everything is in reverse because it's looking at it from the devil's perspective. So God is the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And the object is to take, you know, everything that we see as Christians as being good is bad in this book. And everything that is bad in this book, they see as being a means to then derail the Christian life, to lead them away from God. And so it is a little bit difficult at first to see how this all works and what the purpose or the point is. The other way that the devil is often described, so you have God described as the enemy, the devil, you know, Satan, he's described as our father below.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, our father in heaven. No, that you know, the great God of the demons is our father below, and so it does give you a glimpse into the purpose, what the work of the devil is, and what his priorities are, what he is at work doing among Christians.
Yeah, I think Screwtape has a pretty interesting spin too on how Satan got kicked out of heaven. He kind of referenced that a little bit, and it's more like he thought that it kind of, you can kind of see Lewis makes this point when he starts off the book that he says, you know, Satan is a liar. The devils are liars. And a lot of the correspondence in the understanding between these two individuals, we only get the one side, we only get Screwtape's thoughts, but they're coming from a place of untruth. And he saw, Screwtape saw our father, that is the devil. He left heaven because he could not understand why God would love these, you know, wretched creatures so much, and he just couldn't tolerate it. So he left on his own, free will and volition. He didn't get, you know, forced out of heaven. And you can just see it's like a kingdom based on lies, mm-hmm. and they can't understand, you know, what God sees in us. All they know is they want to take us away from him.
So one of the benefits I think of, you know, if you're listening to this and you're hearing, no, oh, this is written for the devil's perspective, and it flips everything that we know as Christians upside down, and it's the opposite of what we know and desire. One question that's going to come out of this is, well, why should I read it? I mean, if it flips everything that I know as a Christian upside mm-hmm. down, you know, it makes God the enemy, it makes the devil the great father. Why would I want to take my time and sit down and actually read this? What would you give as an answer for that?
Well, I would say there's a book called The Art of War, and one of the best known quotes from that book is, "Know your enemy." And when we're talking about Satan, you mentioned 1 Peter. He's walking around like a roaring lion seeking to devour us. A good way to, you know, we can't defeat Satan by ourselves. He's already been defeated by Jesus at the cross, but he's still trying to, you know, get us to go where he is, to end up in hell. And a good way to remember that is still going on, that he's still trying to devour us, is by kind of reading this book and seeing, you know, like I said, the different methods that Satan and the demonic forces would use to try to get us into, you know, their realm. And I think a lot of the theology today kind of downplays, you know, Satan and demons. They're more like a fictitious thing that doesn't really exist. Satan's not real. There's a big push, you know, a false doctrine nowadays, Nathaniel, you know this, that hell isn't real, you know, that Satan isn't real. And it is quite the opposite. If you don't think they're real, then why would you be afraid of them? And, you know, I think that's, it's all part of their kingdom of lies to get us to try to believe, you know what, they're not real. And it's, you know, that's another lie that Satan wants us to believe, because if we don't believe he's real, then, hey, guess what? We're going to be really susceptible to his attacks.
And I think this is one of the benefits, too, is that, again, C.S. Lewis has some wonderful insights into human nature and the struggles that we all face on the inside. And as you pointed out, you know, that should be a warning for us, that we realize these are those things that we fall into naturally. These are the things that the devil uses in order to lead us astray. One of the interesting quotes in this book that C.S. Lewis brings out, Screwtape is speaking here, and he says, "Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts." Now, you know, from our perspective as pastors, that's the kind of thing that we see all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's that gradual departure from the church, from the sacraments, from the word, from the fellowship. And it doesn't happen boom like that and they're gone. It's little by little. And I think that's that insight that Lewis brings to us to help us to realize just the nature of the struggle between the devil, our flesh, the world, and God and his word. That it's not always obvious, it's subtle, and the devil works in those subtle ways, things that we don't often see. We don't notice those changes. It happens very slowly.
Yeah, I think too, you know, he's always trying to get this individual. That's the whole point of these letters, is to get this individual they call the patient to end up in hell. And he, you know, a lot of the time his advice to Screwtape is, or Wormwood rather, is, you know, yeah, it's not, like you said, it's not dramatic, sweeping, do this something powerful. It's, you know, nudge him in this kind of way, you know, get him to associate with others, get him to think about the church in this, you know, particular way. I think one of the most interesting things about the time, the setting of the book that you mentioned is, yeah, it's around World War II. Lewis himself fought in World War I. He was very familiar with war. And he kind of brings out the point that you would think Satan would love the war, but he doesn't, because basically what the war does is it gets people, you know, very frightened, uncertain about their future. It gets them to naturally ask questions about God, and also it cuts people's time of grace like that, like pretty quickly when there's a lot of death going around. And what they want is, like you said, that long, slow road, and they want us to get us down that unmarked road to hell. They don't want our lives to end suddenly like that if we know God. They want our lives to continue so we can get to know sin and get to, you know, Satan, basically.
It kind of reminds me of the old expression, there are no atheists in foxholes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're talking about, you know, the way that God uses those struggles of life. And now that's part of this book too. He talks about the troughs, mm-hmm, as well as the peaks.
Yep.
And how while God does use the troughs, those low points in our lives, in order to lead us back to Him, the devil also says there's an opportunity for us in those troughs too, mm-hmm, to lead people to despair. So, you know, again, that it's that, just that beautiful description of what human nature is, the struggles of this life that Lewis was so in touch with and did a really good job of illustrating in the way that the devil manipulates, the flesh manipulates those opportunities to lead, mm-hmm, us away from Him.
Yeah, and obviously, Nathaniel, this is a work of fiction.
Right.
Like, Lewis doesn't know. he's taking many liberties because you kind of have to kind of get into this frame of mind. But, you know, the question I kind of asked myself when I was reading this is, I wonder what if this situation kind of does happen, if there was correspondence somehow between hell and, you know, the one demon assigned to me, you know, I don't know if there is one or whatever, but I wonder what he would say about me. I wonder what Screwtape would tell him, you know, about Pastor Libby. How can I get Pastor Libby, you know, into our Father's realm? And I think that's a really good part of this book, is it really kind of makes you you have to ask yourself that question: what are my weaknesses? What would the devil prey on me with? And how can I, you know, prepare myself better to face that? And, you know, obviously from our point of view, we're going to see that, you know, we are weak. We have many weaknesses. It's not that hard. He wouldn't have to dig very deep to find out how to get me. But then you go back to Jesus, and that is your way to defeat Satan. He can't stand Jesus and his word, and the power of Christ is much stronger than the power of Satan.
And I think that probably doesn't come out real well in this book,
mm-hmm,
but I think that's an important question to talk about. As we take a look at the reality of the devil and the way that he works, and know that he is a roaring lion, and this is what he preys on, and these are our weaknesses, I mean, that's a pretty depressing thought.
Yeah.
So where is our confidence? And you say, okay, it's in Jesus. Let's go back to those people, that gradual descent into hell. You know, when we reach out to a person like that, where do we point them? Because that's the same place that we need to be pointed as we read through this book too, and the power of the devil. Number one, the power of Jesus, but also the power of his word. Think about what we had just a couple of weeks ago with the temptation of Jesus. You know, when the devil came and tempted Jesus, just like we're reading through here in the Screwtape Letters, how did Jesus respond? What was his response?
It is written.
Right back to the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, too often we set aside that sword of the Spirit and just let it sit there, not realizing that the Lord has given us everything that we need. He has given us that helmet of salvation, that belt of truth. He's given us the shoes of the gospel of peace, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, so that we might do battle against the evil one. And, you know, when we strip off all of our armor and set it down on the ground, we shouldn't be surprised when we don't fare well in those temptations and the attacks of the devil. One other thought. One of the things that I thought was interesting about this book was that Lewis talks about how quite often the church serves as an ally to the devil. Mm-hmm. Here's another quote from C.S. Lewis. He says, "One of our great allies at present is the church itself." What is he saying there? In what way, both not just in Lewis's day, and it was certainly true in Lewis's day, but it's also true today, what does he mean when he says the church has become their ally in this fight?
Well, I think he brings up a couple different examples of that in his patient's environment. The patient was recently converted to Christianity and he was kind of new to it, right? So he kind of had this fresh take, these fresh set of eyes on the different people in the church, the parishioners and the pastors, and he kind of preyed on looking at these certain people as hypocrites for in one certain light. That was one piece of advice to get, you know, for Wormwood to try out, or to kind of look at them as lesser, you know, oh really, like I'm the same as these people. So he kind of gets the patient to look at it from that point of view, but then he also kind of gets it to kind of the holier and that than thou kind of point of view as well. And he also kind of brings up their lack of doctrine. They couldn't tell the difference between, you know, the different positions of communion, what the Roman Catholic teachings were compared to the Anglican teachings. So he brings up a bunch of different perspectives of religion, like proper religion, and he kind of tries to play with them into getting this guy back to doubting what they say or doubting Christ altogether.
And that, I mean, that was 70, 80 years ago.
Yeah.
But nothing's changed. You know, how many times do you hear people say, well, you know, I'm not going to go to church. There's all these different denominations, and I can't tell the difference between them. You know, and it's the same thing. It's a lack of desire to dig into God's Word again, a lack of willingness to know that God has spoken and that what He has spoken is clear, that His truth can be known. But we're too lazy or too busy with the things going on in our world to say, oh, you know, that's an important thing for me, or using the churches and the different churches and say, well, that's an excuse, so I'm not smart enough to figure that out, so I'm not going to worry about it. All of those same examples are prevalent in our world today. Nothing has changed. The devil's using those same things all over again.
Mm-hmm. I do wonder, Nathaniel, how do you think this book would differ if Lewis was writing it today, and in comparison to when he actually wrote it?
I think there would be a couple of changes. You take a look at a couple of the things that have changed in the last 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about abortion, which has become much bigger. That would probably play a pretty big role in a modern version of the Screwtape mm-hmm. Letters. While he does bring out issues related to the sixth commandment, adultery, you know, mm-hmm. so he's got this girlfriend, you know, that plays a little bit of a role in all of this. But I would think that you'd probably have issues maybe related to homosexuality, or, you know, gender confusion, you know, some of those things that would probably play a little bit of a role. Instead of the war, you know, you might have things like we heard again here just recently about another tragedy down in New Zealand with a mass shooting. You know, so something along those lines might play a role. Now, the commandments haven't changed, but the way in which those commandments are broken in our modern world or our world today as opposed to 70, 80 years ago, it has changed. And my guess is it would just be simply an update on how we're breaking those commandments.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, he really stresses, you know, you can see the relationship between Screwtape and Wormwood. He really pushes him to, you know, get on this guy for certain things. He tries to tell him a great way to get this guy down our path is to get him to neglect his prayers.
Right.
I think if this was written about a certain person today, I feel like they wouldn't need to take such extraordinary pains to get someone to down to their cancer. Like, I'll try this. This works for a lot of different people. And I think, you know, it's something that we think about today too is, man, the world is so terrible right now. It's never been worse. It's such a terrible place. But, you know, that's how they thought when Lewis was writing this too.
Right.
I think that's how we think all the time. And yes, sin is running rampant, and the earth has never been around longer, so it bears to reason that, you know, there's more sin than ever. But it, you know, at the end of the day, there is still Satan and there is still Jesus.
Yeah.
And no matter how much sin is in this world, no matter what the forces of the devil try to throw at us, if you have that whole armor of God, if you have Jesus as your savior, then you're going to be saved. And there's nothing they can do to snatch you out of his hand.
Yeah. And I think that is probably a really good reason to take up the reading of the Screwtape letters during the season of Lent. You know, Lent is it's a time of reflection, of repentance. It's a reminder of the temptations that we face, which Jesus also faced, but perfectly, without sin. And ultimately, the end result is of the season of Lent, and that we need to hear as we're reading through the Screwtape letters, is ultimately Christ won.
Yep.
Christ has won the victory. And just as you mentioned, John 10, no one can snatch them out of my hands. You know, that is a promise that God has given to us through the victory that he has won through Christ on the cross. And so it is fitting at this time of the year to pick up that book and to read through it, to be reminded of the temptations, the struggles that the devil puts before us, but also to be reminded that the ultimate victory has been secured through Jesus' death.
One of the things I really enjoy about this whole book, you know, you said, why would someone pick this up? Like, you know, why would you want to read from a devil's point of view? But I think it's really interesting the way that Lewis writes about them and their lack of understanding about God's love for mankind. They don't get it. They think it's all a ruse, basically. They think it's like a trick or some lie that he really loves us and he desires us to worship him on, you know, by our free will. He thinks it's like this huge joke, and they can't understand why God would love us and die for us. And I think that's the big, you know, difference between the two camps is love. God truly does love us. He loved us so much that, as we see in the season of Lent, he sent Jesus to die for us. And Satan doesn't – they can't – him and his evil angels, they don't understand love. They don't get it because they operate and live from a point of hate.
Right.
So that is the difference between the camp of heaven and the camp of hell. It's love. And that is what we have. We have love from God himself, and he does desire us to worship him. And we get to because of what Jesus did.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks for taking us through that, Ben. I hope that our listeners have the opportunity to take this down off of their shelf if they have it on their shelves. A lot of people do. Or pick up a copy of it, read through it during the remaining weeks here of the season of Lent. And if you do have any questions about it, feel free to send us an email at burdenandblessing@gmail.com. We're always glad to take your questions, any thoughts that you have. We appreciate hearing from you. Encourage you to take a look at the other reviews that we have of C.S. Lewis or some of the other books that we've reviewed as well. May the Lord continue to bless your penitent reflections and also the victory that Christ has won for you through his death on the cross.
We invite you to join us every week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast, where we will continue to proclaim Jesus Christ as the one and only Savior for sinners. Until next week, take comfort in the fact that God is your rock and ever-present help in trouble.